my mom started to work for, it's called Foos News. It was like a publication, like a newspaper for foosball. And so she would go and she would help run tournaments as it was starting to get bigger. And then she met my dad. So they were both playing foosball.
Yeah.
They had me. There's like pictures of me as like a kid in diapers. They would stand me on a stool so I could see the table.
Really?
I was like really, really young. Yeah. So I mean, I've been, I literally wouldn't exist
if not for
foosball.
All right, you guys. All right. Fuck, I'm tired. You ever wake up in 4 hours of sleep and then you gotta fight yourself? Just fight yourself to, like, to be able to wake up. I mean, I heard my alarm and I just go, eh. I woke up. I just didn't move. I didn't move. And then the alarm went off. And then eventually it was not on anymore. And then another alarm went off, and then I woke up. But if not for the other alarm, I would have been gone. I would have missed my flight. That was my Oh, did I fill up on deep fried peanuts? That's why I feel shitty. You ever do that in college, or even work? I guess where you like tell your boss like, "Oh, my alarm didn't go off." Of course, your alarm went off. Your alarm always goes off. There's no reason, if your alarm didn't go off, why would you continue to use that alarm? If it could just not go off. You slept through it, asshole. You slept through it, of course. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I don't know what number this is. It's something. But here's the deal. It's all, okay, wait, before I get into that, the new season of my storyteller show is here. It's coming. Well, first of all, every Tuesday, new story online. If you go to This Is Not Happening YouTube. No, This Is Not Happening playlist on YouTube. Oh, see? Here's the third alarm. You can see all the stories. Brett Ernst last week was amazing. The one before that by me was amazing. Different one every week. So anyway, so go there. I forget whose is this week, but they're all fucking great ones. And there might be the full versions of the stories you've already seen on TV, but these are the better versions. So if you want to come to the taping of next season, it is May 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Every night. Two shows a night, one show on May 22nd. Lineup is great. If you guys want to come, here's how you get tickets. Go to www.theblacklistnyc.com/tinh.htm. And if you want to use a code to get like more than one night, all right, we get it. If you want to use a code to come in one more night, then use the code Jew. And that'll get you in for whatever. They'll know. The people organizing will know you're my fans and not just random ones. Use the code Jew. Is it on there? Wait. Referred by. That's it. We're in the referred by section. Put Jew. Lineup is fucking fire. Kindler, Kreischer, McFarland, Brian Regan, Stanhope, Greg Barrett, Fitzsimmons, Big J, Joe List, Diaz, Louis Anderson, Andrew WK, oh man, what a list. Marin, Margaret Cho, Bamford, Pete Johansson, Rory Scovel, Russell Peters, Sal from Impractical Jokers, and Big Steve Simone. That's not his nickname, that's just his belly. Anyway, if you want to come, do that. You can come to more than one night if you want. Only one show in a night, but just fill out for what you actually want to come to. No lineups expected right now. Anyway, let's start the episode. So today's episode is brought to you by MeUndies. It's underwear online, everybody. I don't know if you got it last time, but They're pretty good, especially the boxers. I like the boxers. The t-shirts are nice and comfortable. That V-neck t-shirt, it stays put. Go to MeUndies.com/Ari if you get a subscription. Or if you get a single pair, you get 20% off your first order when you use when you go to MeUndies.com/Ari. 20% off. And free shipping in Canada and the U.S. Oh, Canadian fans will be happy for once. That's MeUndies.com/Ari for 20% off your first order. And shipping is free. Oh, I get it. Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada. And you can save up to $8 a pair with a MeUndies subscription plan. No. Shipping's free no matter what. And then you can save $8 a pair if you get a subscription. But then you got to like buy a lot of underwear. Or just once a month. Dude, I have underwear that I've had holes in. And I continue to I'll wash them one more time. I continue to work with them. I have underwear that I've spent more time trying to save than I do on relationships. Listen to that. Next door. There's an alarm going off next door. It's been going off since the beginning of this podcast. They don't hear it. They're sleeping through right now. Remember when you had to bring an alarm clock with you on the road? My dad had these little alarm clocks. They were like the size of like a lipstick thing, and they had a little stand on it. And it would make that noise. It's not stopping. Oh, that guy's going to be in trouble at work. Anyway, they're really good, you guys. The MeUndies stuff, they feel really good. The boxers for sure. The boxer briefs, I'm not positive about. The boxer shorts for sure. The t-shirts for sure, but especially the V-neck for sure. I tried those. I didn't try the t-shirts, so I don't know, but I assume they're good too. And the sweatpants / they're not really sweatpants. They're really more like pajamas. All right. And if you don't like them, they'll refund them. They're free. You get to keep them. Oh, really? You get to keep them? If you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. No questions asked. No questions asked. Not like the TSA when you tell them you have a medical condition and they go, well, what's the condition? Well, really, you're not supposed to ask at all. So the fact that I'm making it up really doesn't matter to you. What matters to you is medical condition. So why don't you go ahead and get the swabber out and just go ahead and do your swab job, swab boy. And don't bother people with mitosis filibopsis. It's a degenerative disease. On today's episode, I have Kelsey Cook on. And she is a champion at football. Foosball. I mean, champion. I mean, she's dominant. What's his name? Judah Friedlander. He might be the best comedian there is at ping pong. Kelsey is the best at foosball. Foosball is a weird game. It is it's only a bar game, really. A couple of people had it downstairs. We used to play at the Comedy Store. They had a game up at the Comedy Store. I mean, my first introduction to foosball, I mean, the first memory I have of me and my brother were in North Carolina. We were down there for the ACC tournament, ACC basketball tournament when we were at Maryland, when Maryland was still in the ACC. Then you fucking move goddamn conferences. Who's the rivalry? Northwestern. I'm supposed to hate the Northwestern fucking whatever they are. The purple and gray. I hate that purple and gray. What are you talking about? Money ruins everything. And we were down there for the ACC tournament. Oh, that's the one we're airing. So Maryland lost. I was a Carolina fan. Man, I really fucked myself over with sports fandom. I should have switched over to Maryland. As soon as I went to Maryland, I should have been like, whatever I liked as a kid, that's all out now. I'm in Maryland now, but state of Carolina. And I was rooting for North Carolina in the tournament. That was when Randolph Childress hit that crazy shot against Jeff McInnes. Fucking knocked him down on a fake and then waved them back up, said, come on. I told you, the whole crowd got quiet, drained the three, crowd erupted. That was a championship game. But the game before that, oh yeah, my guy from Hong Kong is writing me. I'm getting a new suit made. I'm getting a new suit made for this season. This is not happening, and it should be good and too hot. May. Ooh, it might be hot in May. Well, I'll just sweat. At least I'm not Big J, right? I won't sweat that much. Oh, so in the game before that, Maryland lost. So for the championship game, Aaron didn't want to go. I forget if my brother wanted to go or not. But Aaron felt like, you know, I'll just scout my ticket, get my money back for the whole, for all the games. I think they ended up charging us like $20 a game, but for all the games. They were all the Greensboro Coliseum. We stayed at this motel called the Coliseum because it was in like Roman lettering. And so Aaron wanted to scalp his ticket, and he did. And he sold it, you know, to a cop, to an undercover cop. The guy was like arranging a price, and then Aaron, at the last minute, got like cold feet. The guy was like, all right, you know, $100 for the ticket. And Aaron was like, wait. He got the feeling, you know, he goes, no, I'm not sure. Like they went back and forth for a while. And then when it got to like 100, he was like, no, I don't know. And the guy's like, too late, you're under arrest. He had to go back there. He had to get a lawyer and get it expunged off his record. By the way, if you don't understand how the justice system favors the rich and the white, I don't think it favors the white. I think it favors the rich. But I think more white people are rich. Like a way higher percentage. That's why they say white. But if everyone started over and whoever got rich made the laws, it would just be rich people. I might be wrong, but that's what I think. But the reason it favors the rich is because Aaron just got it expunged. He just called a lawyer, you know, spent, I think, $500 on the ticket, another like $3,000 on the lawyer. And then he never even had to go back to North Carolina to serve. He went to jail that day, got out, and then it was as if it never happened on his record. As if it never happened. When he went for jobs, have you ever been arrested? No, I haven't. And by the law, he hadn't. They can't even find it. Expunged. Anyway, what a great championship game. But anyway, me and my brother were at a bar down there, and we were playing, so there was a foosball table, and this couple came up and said, oh, do you guys want to play foosball? And we were like, yeah, okay. I forget if we were playing or if they were playing. But one of us was playing. And we were like, yeah, okay, we'll play against you guys. And they go, oh, sure. It was this we were like, okay, I was 23, I guess. It was in college. I started college late, that's why. My brother was 21, maybe. And maybe even like 20 and 22, who knows? Probably 21, 23. And we're at a bar. So, did I ever tell you about my brother's fake ID, the best fake ID there ever was? So I was at Yeshiva University in New York. They sent a renewal notice for my DMV for when I turned 21. This was like 20 in 6 months. They sent a renewal notice saying, hey, you need to get a new ID because when you're 21, you take a picture. It's like instead of from the side, it's to the front or vice versa to let the cops know you're over 21. So they sent me a renewal notice, like you got to get it renewed. So my brother, I had 6 months to get it renewed. My brother, in the meantime, took my social security card and my birth certificate, two forms of ID without my picture on it, went to the DMV, to the Maryland State Democratic National Vengeance, whatever the DMV stands for, and Driver Motorist Prevention, that's it. And then he said, I'm Ari Shaffir, I lost my license, I need to get a new one. And they're like, well, you can't just get a new one, you need two forms of ID. And he goes, yeah, I know, that does suck, but okay, here I go. Here's a birth certificate and a social security card. And they gave him a new ID, a new valid Maryland driver's license with his picture on it that says Ari Shaffir with Ari Shaffir's birthday. And in a few months, when Ari turned 21, so did Mike. He had a valid 21-year-old ID. The best fake ID I've ever seen. It was valid. They could have swiped it through that machine and they would have been like, yeah, sure, Ari. Come on in, Mr. 21-year-old Ari. And then I got home, you know, when I was maybe in March or April or something, went to renew my ID. It's still valid. I thought. assuming no one fucking invalidated it, it was still valid even if I turned 21. I just didn't have, you know, the cops would have just had to check the year. So I went to get my new Maryland license, the DMV Express over on Colesville, but near the old Heckinger's. And they go, okay, yeah, sure, you can renew. Oh, we need the one you didn't lose. And I was like, what do you mean? What? Lose? When did I lose an ID? No, I was forgetful even then. You're right. It wasn't the pot. I was forgetful even then because I believed maybe I did lose it. Maybe. When did I lose it? And they were like, do you still live at Ellicott Hall, University of Maryland? And I was like, motherfucker, Michael. He put his address as his dorm address. Oh, I know why now. So that it wouldn't get mailed. So nothing would get mailed to home. That was pretty smart. So I went down there. I was all mad. I ran to his dorm, knocked, and he's like, what? I'm like, give me the fucking ID. Because so the DMV goes, well, you can get a new one, but you got to. So I was like, whatever. I was like, give me the fucking ID. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, don't lie to me, Michael. I'm not guessing. Give me the fucking ID. And he went to his drawer and he like got the ID out. He goes, here. I'm like, this is bullshit. And I took it. And then later he's like, what's the matter? You couldn't get an ID? And I was like, no, I got one. I just had to pay $20 extra because for the replacement. But they still gave me one because I still had my old ID and some other form of ID for the two forms. And he goes, all right, so you got a valid license. Let me have that one back. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Just give me the $20. So he had it. It still worked. It just wouldn't swipe, but he still had it. Best ID ever. Anyway, these people challenged us to a game. They were like, yeah, we'll play against you guys. And we're like, okay. And they go, you want to play for money? And we're like, what? They're like, yeah, let's just play like $10, which at the time was a lot of money. We're like, we're not paying you. And then they just housed us. They housed us. It wasn't even a good... I don't even think they were trying to like fool us or hustle us. They were fully like, we're the best. If you want to challenge that, put money up. Kind of like Ducky and whatever from White Man Can't Jump. They're like, you want to get on that court? It costs you $5,000 to play them. Remember how mad they were? That team who lost to Wesley Snipes and whatever his name is from Cheers, Woody Harrelson. Remember how mad that team was when they finally lost to two nobodies because they were ex-NBA players? Why have they been that mad? They won like 10 in a row. They've won $50,000 already, so they lost 5. Come on, man. Don't be mad. It's just going to get you more action, to be honest, if you lose a game. Anyway, so that's my first introduction to like the first memory I have of foosball. But a way better memory is at some point at the Comedy Store, somebody, I know who, Kenny Tinney, Mitzi Shore's pool cleaner, he got a foosball table, put it upstairs in the green room of the belly room, and it was just up there. For a couple months, it was just up there. Maybe some phone guys would play when they're off shift. It was right outside the old phone room. And then it caught on. And then it caught on. Man, everybody started playing. We would run upstairs to play. Everybody played. Freddie Soto would play. He would mock me because I was good, you guys. I was one of the best. Here's who the bests were. Me, Sebastian, and Juan Carlos, the fix-it guy. The day-to-day fix-it guy who's still there. Who Mitzi once said. So he does all like the maintenance work there. Cool guy, you know, probably my age. From... think Nicaragua? I don't think Mexico. Anyway, one time I was driving Mitzi into the store and I had all this trash in my car in the back seat, this old Nissan Sentra, all dented and stuff. That Dave Pierre sold me. Man, I'm getting tangential today. Dave Pierre sold me because somebody sold him a cheap car. So then when he had all this money, he sold me a cheap car. He was like, just put down a certain amount. He said it to be super cheap, and he said put down an even lesser amount on the form so that you pay less taxes. I think he said like $1,000. It was like a $5,000 car. Anyway, so I'm driving Mitzi and it's all dirty. She goes, why aren't you cleaning this car? And I was like, you know, I don't have time. And she goes, well, just give Juan $1 and have him do it. Like, Mitzi, he doesn't work for $1 and he doesn't work for me at all. Anyway, he's still a cool guy. But So we were the best. Everyone else played, and then we could just taunt them. I mean, the place would get sweaty. Sweaty. You come up the stairs, and the atmosphere, like not like the atmosphere like at a restaurant. I mean, like literally the air in the room would get like rainforesty. It would be more damp with the sweat of men. They'd be screaming and playing. I would house Freddie Soto. House. I would go on my knees and just like pretend like I can't see. I'd play one-handed a lot and taunt them. He's like, if you're not going to play right, don't play at all. I'm like, I'm still beating you 6-3. And then he'd be like, oh, we didn't know. He goes, we didn't all have a foosball table we could use when we were little. We didn't have the Teitelbaum's rumpus room we could go to. He would always yell about the Teitelbaum's rumpus room. And I was like, I did know some Teitelbaums. I don't know if they had a foosball table. Someone must have if I was that good. But I wasn't that good. I was just good compared to everybody else. Like, I'm better than Jason Tebow from Punch Drunk, from my sports podcast, Punch Drunk Sports. I'm better than him at golf, but not because I'm good, because he's terrible. Yeah, we would dominate. Those three guys would be really good. We'd have to split up teams sometimes. We'd play teams. We'd play one-on-ones. We'd have tournaments. Dice's kids would be up there. That's when Dice was filming crazy videos all the time of me, like, beating up Bobby Lee. Precursor. All sorts of shit. Kids talking trash to me up there. Those videos were great. Dice owned the Comedy Store for about a year period. He would just grab you and say, we're filming a scene. And he would just make you do this scene. He wouldn't edit on Pro Tools or on iMovie, anything like that. He would edit on his camera. Like, he'd be like, no. And they could shoot something, goes, I don't like it, rewind to the place, watch and stop right there, and then shoot from there. Like, he'd cut scenes that way, cut angles that way. You understand? He'd be like, okay, cool, stop. And then he'd like move angles, and he goes, ready, go. One camera, no editing. Crazy scenes. He had me up against a wall, choking me while I was eating pizza. I can't breathe when you're choking me. And we'd be up there playing. And then Maz Jobrani came, and he brought the fucking Persian rules. He started bank shots. No one had bank shots before. No one even dreamed of bank shots. Maz Jobrani was sick. He was next generation. He was a Steph Marbury of comedy foosball upstairs. And then the management started getting mad because we would yell so loud, and we would do it while there's belly room shows going on, and they could hear us. And we'd be like, they'd be like, guys, shut up. We'd be like, okay, shh, guys. But it'd be like a party at a hotel when you're in college, you know? We'd be quiet for, you know, 5 minutes, and the yelling would start right back up again. Man, those were good times. I remember working up a boner. I remember going around the corner, working up a heavy boner, like jerking off to a boner, and then kind of like casually walking in, hey, you guys playing? Just with like, fucking a straight out fucking boner. Man, people get so grossed out. I would just stand right next to somebody. What are you guys doing? As they're like concentrating, and then they would see, like, they're hitting all these rods, and like, instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, instead of four lines, there'd be five lines. There'd be a line of my dick. And they'd be like, oh, Jesus, Ari. Just a fucking hard. It was so hard. It's so hard to keep a boner when you're laughing. That's what's hardest. Not when you're nervous, you know, when you're drunk. Those are hard to keep a boner. When you are laughing or stopping yourself from laughing, when just thinking about a comedic moment, that is boner proof. Yeah, those times were great. And eventually the staff, the management got mad about it, and they took it away. They took the foosball table away. They brought it upstairs to Paulie's illegal tenement home that he had Bobby Lee staying in for a while. I went up there once about a year later, and I played Juan Carlos. I think he beat me 3 out of 5. And that was it. That was the end of the foosball at the Comedy Store. But that was like a year-long period of just, man, what fun that was. What camaraderie. Man, good times. Anyway, let's start the episode. So Kelsey Cook is my guest. She opens for Norton on the road right now, Jim Norton. That's what you can see her. You can also see she has her own podcast, if you want, called Cooked, C-O-O-K, apostrophe D. You can find her at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, at Kelsey Cook, K-E-L-S-E-Y, C-O-O-K. Go there for all tour dates. I am going to be in Salt Lake City. Pretty much, it's going to sell out, you guys. So get tickets now if you want to get tickets. I mean, it's going to sell out. Salt Lake City one night, Thursday night, this Thursday night, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. Cherokee Casino on the 8th. That's Saturday with Nick Mullen. And then next week, Punchline, San Francisco. So get tickets at arithegreat.com/tour. Then I'm going right from there to shoot the openings. But this is not happening for a week. Fuck, my ankle is not good enough. I'm going to have to ice it a bunch. Shoot the openings, and then we're shooting the show. And then we're going straight from there to Baltimore. Do shows in Baltimore at Magoobies. All right. Let's go. If you want to find out more about Kelsey, go to kelseycook.com. Go to arithegreat.com/tour for tickets, or arithegreat.com/arithegreat.com. And also I'll put up links for the This Is Not Happening shows. Don't forget, Jew is the code. If you want to get, make sure that you get tickets. Yeah, and so the deal is, if they email you back and they text you and they say, okay, here's, so you'll fill out what tickets you want within a day or two. They should email you back and say, okay, here's where you got tickets. If you want tickets for another day, like an extra day, say, hey, I filled out that form, Jew. I'd also like tickets for, you know, this day. And I can't guarantee you which show in that day. And I can't, and we don't know the lineups yet, but every show is going to be good, you guys. They're all going to be good. And if you guys went last year and the year before, it's those stories you haven't seen are the ones that are going to fucking dominate. Those Ali Sadiqs where you're like, I don't know who this guy is. And then you're like, fuck, now I do. Yeah, let's do it, right? Start the episode. We're the champions. Let's do that. If you guys have never seen Queen at Wembley Stadium, go on YouTube and go look up videos of Queen at Wembley Stadium. If you want to see a rock star in his prime, if you want to see a rock star being a rock star, he wasn't gay, he wasn't straight, he wasn't black, he wasn't white, he was just a rock star. And that white outfit, just, you see the sea of people, and he didn't give a fuck. All right, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 260. I'm going to guess 262, but it might be 263. Oh, and then after the episode, I got me and Kelsey go play. So stay tuned for after the episode. There's a false ending. We go play. You can hear what happened. Episode 262. The Foos Fighter with Kelsey Cook. Let's go.
I'm taking my bow in my curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all. But it's been a bed of roses. No pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge.
Also out of gas completely.
Oh, shit.
It started to knock a little bit right before I turned on the Griffith Park. Yeah, I was like, oh fuck, it's right. It said a long time ago. Then I got into traffic for 30 minutes and I was like, oh. So I gotta leave myself a little more time to get some gas. Where the closest gas station is to here. I think downhill is the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
If you need help in any way, let me know.
Locating a gas station?
Yeah, or like if you need me to like take you a station to get.
Have you ever done that?
Gallon? I've run out before, yeah.
Where?
Fuck, I don't remember. I think it was up in Washington still, but my gas is a shitty old car, and when it would get low, it would spring up and tell you it was full. So
oh,
unless
really?
You were really on top of your shit to remember that it had already gone toward empty, no. I'd just be like, oh, I'm full. And then I ran out.
And what did you have to do? Walk?
I think I called Geico or something. Oh. And they had like the roadside assistance for young blonde women like myself who have no idea how to get anything done with a car.
I did it once with my buddy, and we were like a long way away from, and it was pre-cell phone too. So we were like, let's just walk. One of us just walk, one of us stays with the car. And it was like a 45-minute walk.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like this long rural road. We were playing like indoor golf. So it's like way out where they could get a factory for that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Indoor golf.
Yeah. And we just ran out. It sucks. You're like, no one else did this to you.
It's the worst. Yeah. Yeah. You just, you have no one to blame. You just feeling retarded. Yeah.
And to get some gas, bring enough back, but not too much that it'd be too heavy. Just enough to get us to the gas station.
Right. Such like a primal dumb thing. Like in our days of like technology now, it's like you can still just run out of gas in your car and have to find a way to get gas. Like there's no app for gas. Like your phone can't pour gas in your car.
Should be able to.
You know? Right.
Should be able to. Solar powered cars. I had a girl in New York ask me to help her fill up gas. She had a red thing, you know? She was how do you put this in the... And I'm like, oh. And she's like, can you help me? I'm like, okay. But it was just sexism for me helping her. Right. Because I'm like, I mean, I'm going to read the directions.
Right.
So, and then figure out that way. So I don't know why I'm better off at this than you. Right. But she was cute, I guess. So I didn't mind.
Patted her lashes.
One time I tried to run out of gas to see how many miles I could get out of one tank. Like how far.
Right.
You know, and also like when the light comes on, how much I actually get. And then it was like, as soon as like kind of run empty for like a little bit, I was like, fuck, I saw when I U-turned it and I pulled like,
oh my God, you got lucky.
Yeah. That it wasn't somewhere else for sure. Cause I was going back to the burbs where there's no gas stations.
Oh yeah. I have deep fears like doing road work. I get really freaked out if I'm driving at night and the thought of like, what if I get a flat tire? What if I run out of gas for some reason? And you're just... Yeah, that's like a scary thought. I've just seen too many scary movies where like then some truck pulls over and you get chopped into a million
need
pieces.
Help? Like maybe. Yeah, all those girls always like, maybe. Like I need the help, but you seem not like the guy to help me, so I can't just say no.
You seem like you have bodies in your basement, but okay.
People do people do that stuff. Where they, instead of seeming racist or like rude to someone, even if it's like a white trucker, it's like, I don't want to feel like I'm a jerk, so yeah. I'll enter this situation that makes me feel super unsafe. Right. You know? Yeah. A gang of people, like just youth, like 17-year-old rambunctious.
Yeah.
Late at night, I'm like, should I cross the road? I'm like, no, they're black. That would be racist if I crossed the road. I'm like, if they were white, I would just cross the road.
Right. That happened with me with a job interview like a year and a half ago, right when I moved to LA. I was looking for day job work, and it was like, I think just through Craigslist, like a Craigslist post needing admin assistant shit, which is always fairly easy as a comic to do.
To like, get that?
Yeah, like receptionist type
I've done
work.
That shit.
Yeah. And they gave me an address, and as I'm driving, it was like way deep in the hills here
to get there.
Yeah. And as I'm getting to the address, I lose all cell phone service.
Now people are lost without their cell phones once the service comes out. Like, how do I do this?
But I'm realizing like I can't call anybody right now, and then I pull up to this house and it's being remodeled, and it's just some sketchy, there's like people working outside, and they're like, oh, you here for the interview? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, just go around that back door.
What?
And I was like, I had that horrible like animal adrenaline of I should just turn around and get back in my car right now. Like that might seem crazy, and maybe they'd think I'm a lunatic. Like maybe this is totally fine, but also there could be somebody in there with like chloroform ready to just make me a sex slave.
Yeah,
and it was like The Shining. It was like weird sheets everywhere covering everything, and I went upstairs.
I went in.
I was stupid to go in. It turned out to be fine.
Well,
and they had
stupid.
Like a weird desk setup, but I've thought about that probably 10 times since it happened. Like that could have easily been just a quick way to get young women.
Do you think if they were doing that, they would have dolled it up better, like gotten an office somewhere and then sex slaved them? Although I guess
maybe.
Yeah.
Wasn't that story? It was like a comic in New York, a girl in New York like 3 years ago who
she got sex slaved?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, she told a story on a podcast. I can't remember her name, but she said she went to the same cafe over and over, and this guy like studied her patterns and went up to her and started talking to her, and then put like a gun like against her leg under the table and was like, "You're coming, like we're going now." And she went with him, and they immediately drugged her in the car and took her to a hotel, and were like going to start her through like the sex slave like ring, because there were girls in the hotel all drugged out. And they were like bringing them in and out of hotel rooms, and she escaped somehow. She told the story. I can't remember who it was, but I remember being like, "Oh my god, that was definitely one of my worst fears ever. So fucking scary."
Whoa, to be sex slaved.
Well, to be like abducted like that, and sex slaved and drug. It's the whole thing is terrifying.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know how we got down this road. Anyway. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know either. Remember in Taken 2 when they were like, or Taken, I guess it was Taken.
Yeah.
And they were like, "We haven't raped her yet because she's a virgin, so her price is higher." And it's like, that's just so that you can say the hero saved her, because you don't want to like come back and save your daughter. And she's like, oh, just all gang banged out.
12 guys banged me. Yeah.
You ever see Traffic?
I don't think so.
I think it was Michael Douglas or one of the Douglases. And then his daughter was, I think, the girl from the dance movies.
Dance movies.
The white chick from the dance
Julianne
movies.
Julianne Hough?
No. No, it's like where she like goes to the ghetto to break dance with black people.
Oh, Julia Stiles?
Julia Stiles, yeah. And when he finally rescues, she gets into drugs. When he finally rescues, it's just some like black guy with no shirt on, like opens the door, like, "What?" And he goes, "Get out of my way." And then he just gets his daughter, who's like half naked on the bed, and just takes her out. But it's
oh
like,
oh my god!
Yes, this is the reality. This is what happened. No one just fucking sucks dick for coke and doesn't have to suck dick.
Right? Like,
that's not how that works.
I'm sure Julia Stiles would be really happy to know that, like, that's how people define her career.
The chick from the dance movies.
There's the chick from the dancing movies that goes and throws down with black people in the streets.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be horrible if you had a daughter and she got into just like hardcore drugs and just started selling herself.
So yeah, it's really fucking scary. And here in LA, that's like a definite reality everywhere.
An option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not really an option for dudes.
Yeah.
Once I got offered to, my friend was working in like porn production, like as like an assistant.
Yeah.
She was like, "Hey guys, she came to the comedy store. They're looking for guys that would wear masks and get blowjobs." We're like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "You wear a mask, they'll never see your face. You have to sit there and get a blowjob in a mask." And we're all like, "Yeah." Yeah, let's just do that. A couple guys are like, "I don't know." Like, "You don't know what? I don't understand. You would take a blowjob anyway, and it's $500.
Yeah. 1,000%. That's a great decision. Nobody knows it's you.
And one guy was like, "Well, how am I going to know who the blowjob was from?" Like, when you get there, if you don't want to, then you can just leave. You're not like a slave. You're going to be like, "Oh no, keep the 500. I don't want to do this. That's a goat. I didn't agree to get a blowjob from a goat." Like, you can have eye holes. She's like, "Yeah, eye holes."
So did you do it?
No, it didn't pan out.
Oh.
Yeah,
but you would have.
I whored myself and didn't get to do it.
To get the satisfaction of the actual blowjob.
You see this? Nerds? You know what nerds are?
Yes.
Okay. See here where it says, can you read that?
Yes.
No artificial flavors. No artificial flavors. Now, wait. Hold on. There's something in the back here that made me so get weirded out. Where is it?
There's no way. There's no artificial flavors.
Yeah, come on.
Are you kidding me? That's all nerds are.
Yeah.
It's just like dinosaur bone dust and sugar.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, where was this thing? I was on here. It said it's made with some sort of like thoughtful portion, 2 tablespoons, 40 calories. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, nobody's eating 2 tablespoons.
Oh, it doesn't even say it. It's made, it said on some of these boxes, it's made with like biochemical engineered.
Oh, god damn.
Oh, here it is. Produced with genetic engineering.
Genetic engineering.
But on the front, see the bottom right? Bottom left, sorry. Yeah, what does that mean?
What the fuck? Produced with genetic engineering?
And how do you put way bigger, no artificial flavors on the front? As if it's like, okay.
Wow.
Genetic engineering. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's just dextrose, sugar, malic acid.
But that's not genetic engineering.
Yeah, what did they do? Dude, that's...
Do you think of some like they made some like animal who like shits nerds now? He just wants to die, but he's like, no, I made it.
Some one-eyed chicken that just like farts nerds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god.
My sight's back on. Let me tell this lady this.
Oh, okay.
So let's talk about foosball.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I love when I try to find somebody and then they have some unique experience like this.
Yeah.
You went to, well.
It's a whole, it's like my whole life. It's a whole big
foosball. When did you start playing? How old were you started playing? Where'd you grow up? In Central Washington?
Eastern Washington, Spokane, Washington. Yeah.
Eastern. Okay.
So, and I talk about this now on stage, but so my parents met playing professional foosball. So they started playing in the 70s.
Hold on. Okay.
Did you take a second?
Yeah, I need to internalize stuff sometimes.
Yeah. So they, my mom's been playing for like over 40 years. They met when it first was like introduced to billiard halls and bars.
When was that?
In the 70s.
What was it before that?
Just like pool tables for the most part. Pool tables and darts.
No. I mean, what was foosball before that?
I don't know.
Did it get invented then, or was it like just like put mainstream then?
I can't remember if it was. I think it was maybe happening in Europe first and then came over here. My mom is like considered the official historian of the sport of foosball. Like, she's written 2 books.
No fucking way.
Yeah, they're on Amazon. The most recent
invented.
It's the World Table Soccer Almanac, and there's a foreword by Woody Harrelson.
Really? He plays foosball?
He loves foosball, yeah.
Do you know who invented it?
No, not off the top of my head.
Harold S. Thornton.
Well, look at that shit.
1923. Oh,
okay.
Some patents exist as far back as the 1890s.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm sure that's like all in my mom's book. But yeah, wow. So my parents met playing.
What are their books called?
So the more recent one is called the World Table Soccer Almanac.
Yeah, and then the table soccer.
And then the first one is called The Complete Book of Foosball.
Okay, so it started going into bars.
Yeah.
And then she met your dad playing?
Yeah, so then like a tours started where they started to set up tournaments all throughout the country. My mom started to work for, it's called Foos News. It was like a publication, like a newspaper for foosball. And so she would go and she would help run tournaments as it was starting to get bigger. And then she met my dad. So they were both playing foosball.
Yeah.
They had me. There's like pictures of me as like a kid in diapers. They would stand me on a stool so I could see the table.
Really?
It's like really, really young. Yeah. So I literally wouldn't exist
if not for
foosball.
Is there a proper time to call it table soccer and a time to call it foosball?
You can say whatever. It's very casual with like as far as terminology goes.
Where did foosball come from?
I don't know. So funny. People like you're the first person to ask me questions that I don't know the answer to about foosball.
Foosball. Well, I guess we'll look it up.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure it has relation to football, which is you know, European soccer. And it's the miniature version of soccer, the way that miniature tennis is ping pong.
Foosball origin. From German, Fußball.
Oh, okay.
Which means football.
There you go. Oh. This is awesome. See, I'm so happy I'm learning stuff right now.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And there's a foosball.com.
Yeah.
The history of foosball. You can have foosball.com/learn/knowledge/chp1hist.html. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, just Google it.
That's a rabbit hole. Yeah. If there ever was one.
So they just started teaching how to play at a young age?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Did you ever ask your mom if her and your dad fucked on a foosball table?
No, but I've had so many people ask me that. That's not one of those like sexy table sports where like you get pushed up against like a pool table. You get
pool table smooth.
Yeah, you get like a man in the ass if you try and fuck on a foosball table.
No way.
Like there's like extra accessories that you probably
maybe like up sitting down on the one of the sides and then, like legs up and around, but one guy standing. It probably wouldn't work. I didn't really think it out.
No, that would be incredibly painful.
Yeah. So wait, what's professional foosball? There's a league?
Yeah, so it's basically there are tournaments throughout the U.S. and actually throughout the world. Like there's my mom and my brother have been to the World Cup in Nantes, France, where my mom has played in the senior division and my brother has played...
N-A-U-G-H-T? What's Nantes, France?
N-A-N-T-E-S, Nantes, France. It's just like a city in France. And my brother... played in the junior division. So like they had both qualified in their in their leagues, and then they went over. So yeah, it's there's a whole ranking system, and basically the more tournaments you go to and place in certain events, your points rise and then your status rises. So
was she sponsored?
I don't think my mom was sponsored. There's a few of like the top players in the world now that are sponsored, and that's, I mean, that is like their full-time thing is foosball. And it's, they're so amazing. It's so cool to watch.
So then they don't have to pay entry fees anymore, right?
They do have to, but they're, well, I mean,
so there's a sponsor pay for like poker. Once you get big enough, poker stars will be like, we'll pay for your entry fee if you're a big name.
Okay.
Just wear our hat the whole time.
Truthfully, I don't know. I don't know what their situation is, but it's kind of like gambling in that way where you have to pay a certain amount to play, and then you hope that you win it back. But
professional golf is like that too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta pay like $3,000 to get into the tournaments.
Yeah.
Even Tiger Woods has to pay like $3,000.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah.
And then if you lose, you've lost a few grand.
That's crazy. Yeah. I was in Vegas, weekend before last for the Hall of Fame foosball tournament, which is like my favorite one.
Hold on. Okay. Who got inducted into the Foosball Hall of Fame last week?
Three people. Adrian Zamora, who's been a like very, very long time foosball player, world champion.
Obviously. Adrian Zamora.
Obviously. One other person, and then a foosball player named Moya Thielens, who actually passed away this last year. And she was like a world champ, an amazing player. And she had like a horrible, like she climbed a tree and fell and had a concussion that was basically like irreversible. So horrible, weird freak accident.
What?
But she was inducted. Yeah. Or broke her neck. I mean, it was like.
From climbing a tree.
Yeah. She climbed a tree and she fell.
People are so weak.
It's amazing that like as humans,
I mean, like
we can,
all of us, yeah.
You're right, as humans we can withstand a lot, but truly it takes nothing.
Oh, climb this tree and then die. Yeah. You're not like, oh, that's not, I mean, maybe break a toe,
right? No. Yeah,
death.
So pretty insane.
So she got inducted posthumously.
Yes.
Was everyone crying?
I think some people were crying. Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
What's it like there at the Foosball Hall of Fame tournament?
It's crazy. I always just like, I want to just teleport everybody I know there.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to, I mean, unless you're like in Vegas that week for something else. But I've had a few comic friends come through if they're there for shows that weekend, and everybody's just wide-eyed. It's insane. It's like a giant ballroom. It's in the Flamingo Hotel.
Okay.
And it's a whole ballroom that's lined wall-to-wall with tables. Baseball tables. It's, yeah.
How much room do they get? Well, you don't really need much room, right? You got to stay right on the table.
Yeah. It's like right. It's pretty much stacked right up against each other. But yeah, there's like
you can't like bump elbows with somebody behind you.
No,
right?
But they're like really, as far as like the ends of the tables are touching, but there's room between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and what do they have, teams and individuals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, I think there was maybe like 15, 16 different events this time. Maybe it's like 20, but yeah, there's doubles, there's singles, there's women's doubles, there's open singles, there's, you know, like everything broken up by rank, if it's only like only amateurs can play in this event or whatever. Yeah. So
do they have any race based categories, like non-whites?
I think there are literally two black people every year.
Really?
Like it's
and they love that they're the only ones.
Yeah, it's a very, it's like the NASCAR of table sports. Damn. You know what I mean? It's like so.
Wait, so how many people enter?
There were, God, I mean, I want to say there were at least maybe 300 people there, 200, 300 people. Yeah.
So, okay. So you started, obviously, you got good grooming.
Yeah.
So you were great probably by the time you were in high school.
Yeah. I mean.
You had a table at home, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you like take your friends? I mean, like hustle them?
I took a couple friends with me to Vegas at some point.
I mean, take money from them, I mean.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. I mean, I joke about it now about hustling people because I will hustle sometimes on the road if I have comedy shows and there's like a bar nearby.
Yeah.
When I was young, it was fun. I don't think there was money put on the table, but my mom liked to kind of show me off because I was like this tiny, you know, I was like fourth grader.
Good dominant.
And I had like mastered a few shots. I had gotten like really good at a few of them. And so, you know, like my mom's a high school teacher, so she'd have her high school students play me, and she wouldn't like warn them that my mom had trained me or anything like that. And so these, like, you know, these, like, high school kids all, like, full of testosterone are like, yeah, fucking sure. And I just beat them. And so that was always fun.
It's so funny to me when someone is clearly better at someone else in foosball and they both go and go, oh, this will be fun. And it's like, wait, what are you? What are you doing? What the fuck? Are you using the wall? What the fuck? What?
Right.
It's just like they can't even comprehend it.
Yeah, it's very weird like that. It's one of those sports that you can see people just like sloppily banging the ball around and spinning the rods, or at like the master level, it's so precise. It's crazy. There's so much strategy.
You're definitely, there's no spinsies allowed, right?
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
an obvious rule. Yeah. We had so many fights about that. There was a table at the Comedy Store for a while, and it was like, no spinsies.
Guys.
That's just no a rule.
You know, come on.
And then people were like, I didn't let go. It's like, you definitely let go. How is it spinning around that fast? Your hand isn't fucking 14 feet long.
Yeah, you can do up to 360 rotations. So some people will do a rollover shot where they
start at the wrist and like go all the way to the fingertip.
Yeah, and they catch it. Like I have calluses on my wrist right now, or not my wrist, on my hands from last week, and I'm realizing that that's such a nerdy injury. Anyway,
how'd you place? How'd you do?
I did okay. I did better last year, and I wish I would have done as well this year. But I don't practice very much anymore. There are people who are there that play that put the time into foosball that I put into comedy.
Oh, right.
You know, and it's like, it's you only have so much time in the day.
I had that. I was taking jiu-jitsu for a while, and there was this little guy, Shigeki, this little Japanese guy.
Yeah.
He'd choke me out all the time. Like, but he was nice about it. You know, he was a brown belt, and I was just starting. But he was like, I weighed about like 50 pounds.
Oh, my
God. It didn't matter, though. He could just choke me. And he would teach me how to, like, defend and stuff. And then he'd kind of be like a little mentor about it. And then he was like, you got to be thinking about moves, like in the car, you got to be thinking about sweeps and stuff.
Yeah.
Like your mind's always got to be on it. And I was like, oh, I already have something.
Yeah.
My mind's already on.
Yeah. You like, can't afford to.
Yeah.
There's just no room for it. Yeah. So, and it sucks because I'm so competitive and I don't know. I go to like a couple big tournaments a year and I walk in just thinking that I'll be totally prepared and fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll lose to somebody really good and I'll be like, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm annoyed that I didn't play at a higher level, and it's like, well,
this is like when you have too many good sets in a row and you're like, I'll just go up with no material, and then you do and you're like, oh, that didn't go. Oh yeah, my preparation made me good. Why do I think that I was just naturally good when I worked really hard to be good?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So you'd fucking, and then you gotta like hold it on the tip of your like long finger like as you spin up.
Yeah, basically. I don't like to shoot it because it feels uncomfortable to me. I've seen people rip their wrist skin open, like their forearm skin from shooting so many rollovers. But yeah, people will pin the ball and then move their hand down to where their wrist is on the handle. And when they're ready to shoot, they roll up and they catch it. So they catch it as it's hitting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, the shots are so hard. Like the power behind it is pretty.
Yeah, like if you play knock hockey, table hockey, whatever that's called, air hockey.
Air hockey. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. I mean, everyone I've ever seen play, you just smash it until I hope it goes in. You know, yeah. Try to get a block, and you just keep smashing. Maybe I'll go sideways on this one.
Right.
But like that's what the game is. I think for most people, is that how they play foosball?
No, I mean foosball. They're so. I feel like air hockey is very. Like it's a linear game. Like you've got two goals and just open field and that's it. But with foosball, I mean, you have so many different bars. So it starts on the five bar, you know, which is the middle one, the five men. And your goal is to pass it then to your three bar. And then when it's on your three bar,
you're pass shooting from like the five bar or the.
Yeah. I mean, it's considered kind of cheap in the game to score on your five. Like you can, I mean, people develop really, really strong five bar shots, but it's like, it sounds silly, but like good etiquette, I feel like it's more respectable to pass it to your three and then score from your three.
So there's no thing where if somebody's shooting from their five into the three and you smash it back. You ever do that thing where they hit it and you hit it right back?
I think I've seen a couple people do that. I've done that when I've gotten like really cocky and like,
that's not etiquette.
You can't. It's a really shithead thing to do.
That's fair.
I've
okay.
definitely done it a couple times, but
it's like kneeling on the ball on Tecmo Bowl. It's like, dude, play the game or Madden, whatever. That's how they land.
Right. Yeah.
So there's an etiquette to like pushing it up to the three and then mm-hmm. scoring.
Yeah.
And you stay on offense for a while.
Yeah, I mean, there's time limits on every rod, so you can't once you have the ball set to shoot it on your three bar on your forward man, you have 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
Yeah.
To like...
to release it, to shoot it.
Once you have a set on a man?
Yeah.
Can you pass it back and forth to your men and start the clock over on the three bar?
I think the max then is 15 seconds. Like, you shouldn't have it on your three bar more than 15 seconds.
Is that a move? That's a move I do, where you just pass it back and forth on three bar and trying to like confuse them into like now shot.
Totally. That's a great shot. I want to play you so bad.
Oh, yeah. We'll play at the end of this. We had a table at the Comedy Store, and I don't know why, but me and like two other guys were just dominated everyone else.
That's amazing.
Miles Giobrani was one of them.
That's awesome.
I believe Sebastian was good.
Oh, cool. Okay, nice.
He might have also been awful. I'm not sure, but I remember thinking Sebastian was unique in some way. But it was
one or the other.
Yeah, a bunch of people. Then the Moz came, and I was like, oh, you're good. Sebastian and one of our fix-it guys, because he would just, instead of like cleaning all day, he would just fucking the janitor would play. Yeah. Yeah, Moz introduced like shooting it off the walls, and we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wow.
Bank shots?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We didn't know how to even defend that for a while. It was like
really hard.
Yeah. And then you realize what he was doing.
That basically turns foosball into air hockey, where you're bringing in angles that you're like, fuck, it's so hard to watch the ball go to this corner and not know where it's going to deflect to.
And then if you're not used to it too, you pull on your three to defend it, but then it only goes so far. You're like, nah, it's going right past me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
I remember me and my brother had. We were in North Carolina at the ACC basketball tournament. We were playing a little bit, and this couple, boy and girl, man and woman, was like, "You guys want to play?" We're like, "Maybe." They're like, "Yeah, let's play for $25 a game." And we're like, "No, no locals who hang out here and challenge other people to foosball games. Right. No, we're not going to gamble on this. We're not good." And there was like, "You guys are hustlers, not even really. I guess just gamblers.
Right?
They weren't like pretending to be bad." Have you ever done that? Awesome. Have you ever lemoned up to get mm-hmm. action?
Mm-hmm.
You have.
Yeah. When was it? It was in January. I was at the Idaho Laugh Fest in Boise, and I walked into a bar, and it was just, I couldn't not, because this sweet, young, very like Mormonish couple walked up to me, and they were like, "Hi, like we're trying to play a game of foosball, and we just wondered, would you and one of your friends like to play? We're just looking for other people to play." And I was like, "Oh, that's so sweet. You know, I've always wanted to play that game, and I've never really played before." And they're like, "Oh, great." I mean, they seriously could not have been nicer people. And I walked up and put the ball in. I was like, "Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?" They're like, "Oh, you can start." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then I immediately just was like, and I like did all my
stuff.
And they were like, "I think you've played before." And then I broke cover. I wasn't going to take their money or anything, but I was like, "Yeah, I'm sorry." But that was fun for me for a second.
That's funny. I did it with comedy once when I was like a year and a half in. I was in Baltimore, and I was like, "Yeah, I haven't done it." There's an open mic that I went to. I was like, "Can I try?" And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, 7 minutes. Like, what happens if I don't have 7 minutes? Like, you can just go short. It's okay.
Oh my God.
Like, cool. And then I did like, looking back, what would have been also still terrible, but at the time was way better than never having done it before.
Right, a year and a half in.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking back on that story, I realized like probably still garbage.
Right. Oh.
Probably a lot of people are like, "Yeah, I can believe this first time. It was mediocre for his first time, middle of the road."
Oh my God.
What's the etiquette on the drop? I never know.
They've stopped me. I mean, some of the tables still have the hole, but actually now the correct way to do it is you place it on your five bar, like just like between two men or whatever, and you ask the person if they're ready. Like, you just verbally are like, "Ready," and they're like, "Ready," and then you have to touch two men and wait a second before you move the ball forward. You can't just like swing and hit it. So
you have to touch two men on your own five bar.
Yeah, like touch the ball between two men, and then
who gets ball first? How do you decide?
Coin toss,
and then goal scored. Whoever got scored on.
Then they get the ball. Yeah.
Losers out.
Yeah. So if I got the ball scored on me, then I would get to serve next.
Oh. Is there an etiquette to that ball drop thing when it has the hole? Because some people try to spin that shit.
When you used to do it through the hole, the whole trick was to go on the right side of the ball with your index finger, and you push it to your side.
So it just rolls right naturally.
Yeah. It just goes right to the left. You. Yeah.
Oh. And that's all legal and fine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty much just saying, it's like an extra point in football.
Yeah.
It's like, you get it. You have it. 99% of the time, it's yours.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, unless you really fuck up and just...
Yeah, somehow. We'd always argue about that. Like, no, you fucking spun it. Like, yeah, well. Or you deny spinning it. No, I didn't. I just pushed it hard down. I didn't know where to go.
No, that's totally legal. You like could have done that all the time. Yeah.
You ever play pool? I mean, you must if you're around those things.
Yeah.
You ever played nine ball?
Remind me how
it's just whoever hits a nine ball in first wins. But you have to hit the first contact ball, you have to hit the lowest ball on the table.
Oh, I haven't played that way.
You have to hit the cue ball into the one. And then once the one is in, you have to hit it into the two first. You can hit the two into the nine and in, but if you hit the nine in, you win.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, I haven't played that way before.
Yeah. That's just normal nine ball. But then like sometimes you just break and the nine ball will go in randomly.
Yeah.
You stick it in the middle and someone's like, that's not fair, I lost. And it's like, yeah, man, it's not fair, but you lost. I know.
You can suck it, bitches.
Yeah. You can do it wrong too. You can fuck up and still knock it in. You're like, well, I won. Yeah. How do you find, do you try to take action on people ever? Did your mom teach you stuff like that?
To do what?
Hustle people?
Yeah. I mean, not actively. Like, I feel too bad.
All right.
I don't know. I just like the thrill of, I know that nobody looks at me and thinks, this girl plays professional foosball.
Any sport.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. No, like. You look unathletic as fuck.
Yeah.
I've actually played sports my whole life, but no one ever thinks that. Like,
yeah.
No one ever. It's totally fine.
It's the blonde, I guess.
Yeah. The blonde and also like not like super butch.
Not butch.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like nowadays, like if you're really like an athletic female, you've
you
got
look like it.
A little bit of a lesbian vibe.
We used to, my job at University of Maryland was at worked a service desk,
okay.
Hand out keys and stuff. But also, when people were checking in, we'd hand out keys to their dorms.
Yeah.
So they have to come with their IDs and look. And the athletes always got there early.
Okay.
Like, all the athletes got there a week early.
Yeah.
And our job was just to guess what sport the girls played by their hair. Like, all the soccer players had this, like, bleach blondie hair.
Yeah.
The field hockey players had, like, longer hair, but also bleached. Basketball was more obvious.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was fun. They all end up looking exactly the same.
Like thicker necks a little bit sometimes.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't want a thick neck, but I don't know. It's fun just to trick people. Obviously, like if I can take people's money, that's fun too, but it has to be the right situation. I love to take drunk dudes' money.
Hell yes.
That I'm feels great. That. Like especially like really fratty dudes. I'm like, oh, fucking just give me everything you have.
And they're all like, do you do that? What do you do? Wait for them to call the action or you call it?
Well, I was in San Francisco with Jim for shows and I do this foosball bit on stage now.
There
and there was a bar that was pretty much right next to Cobb's and there's a group of just like super drunk fratty guys after the show. They were like, we're going there. Just come so we can play. I swear to God, I'll kick your ass. Like, I swear to God, we have a table in the frat. I'm super good. I'll let's do it. Like, I swear. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, great. No problem. And so I met them after the show around the corner, and Jim and his manager came and watched. And it just was like, yeah, like, there's no way
mercy,
you're, yeah,
dominant.
There's no way. There's no way you'll win.
Yeah, I had a dartboard in my dorm room and I was like, oh, I'm good, but it's like not professional good.
Yeah.
Not like someone who really knows what they're doing is taking lessons.
Right. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And I'm not cocky about much, but if it's like a frat dude against, it's like my whole
fratty
life.
Fratty guys are the worst.
Yeah. If I played my whole life, I'm gonna bet that I will beat you.
Yeah, but you're a woman, so how could you be better at anything than me?
I know.
So maybe you haven't considered that.
I know. I haven't thought about it with my smaller brain.
It's okay. You might get cold from thinking that hard, but do you, so at this Hall of Fame tournament, how many people enter?
I think
the main event.
So the main events are open singles and open doubles.
Okay. What does that mean, open?
It means that anybody of
like
any
the US
rank.
Open. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any rank can enter. So that's why if you're a low rank, it's not that advantageous to put your money into that event.
How much is it?
It's a different entry fee for every event. Fuck. They charge you on a bunch of weird shit. Now there's like a $75 table fee and like weird, like they just, it's kind of a money scam. Like I don't know if I'm going to keep going to this particular tournament because I spent like $275 in entry fees, which is just way, like, it's just a lot.
It's not nearly as much as the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. That's not all at stake either. I think that's like the open singles first place is like maybe $2,000.
$2,000?
Yeah.
For the Open, for the U.S. Open?
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame tournament?
Yeah.
Are there bigger tournaments than that? in the States?
One, I think there's one more that's bigger. The World Championships.
So how can you be a professional foosball player if you win the biggest tournament is $2,000?
I don't know. You can travel a lot. There's lots of tournaments, but...
Damn.
Yeah. I want to look up... I just had the flyer in my purse and I just threw it out. What? I could be wildly underestimated, but I really don't think I am. It's like $2,000 to $3,000, maybe. But
that I have to start looking shit up instead of just guessing for 20 minutes. What is it? The foosball?
Go to ITSF.
Oh yeah, of course.
.com. That's the International Table Soccer Federation.
Why wouldn't that be a .org? What's your age and gender? I already asked you. All right, I'll put it in. How much have you heard about the Zika virus? What?
No.
Did I do it wrong?
That can't be it. Maybe do...
ITSF?
Do Google. Just Google ITSF foosball and see what pops up. There should not be anything about the Zika virus.
It's tablesoccer.org.
Oh. Well, you were right. Shit.
It should be .org, yeah. World Cup? Czech champ. Jesus. Tournaments. Okay. Well, let's say.
So, if you look up... Does it still have anything up for like Hall of Fame tournament? Does it have a flyer sitting
when
there?
When was it? March?
Yeah. So click on the flyer to make it bigger and see.
New York. Oh, that's April.
See what the payout was for.
International Series Hall of Fame Classic?
Mm-hmm. Is there a little flyer there?
Information? Wow, I can't believe this. Tornado sponsored it. So that's nice.
That's definitely the best table.
Results? Yeah, results. Doesn't say how much the entry fee is, though.
There should be a flyer. It wouldn't be results, but here. Let me come scooch over. Okay.
While you're looking that out, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are there... This is my favorite question for any sport. I know there are, so I'm not going to ask you, are there? What are the groupies like for foosball?
The groupies, you know, truthfully, there are not very many groupies.
Yeah, there's not that many in bowling either, but there are some, and they're gross.
If you're there at the tournament, it's generally because you're playing.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, it's brutal to go if you're not playing, because you will just be in a tournament room from like 10 in the morning until 2 in the morning waiting for your matches to be called. Like, you can't really leave the room.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy.
They don't tell you, like, cool, you're going to be up in 3 hours?
No. Because they'll say an event is starting at, like, 3 p.m., but then there will be all of these conflicts. Like, they don't run a single event at one time. They run...
lots of events.
Yeah.
That's what the World Series is, where it's, like, depending on where you are, it's like you're part of a different tournament.
Yeah. And so some people are in multiple events at once, and then you'll get a conflict, and you just will sit and wait for a match for hours and hours and hours. It's crazy. It's not run very well. But... yeah. I'm trying to find, where is it? Okay, here. I really want to figure out and remember. Oh, it just took me to Google Maps. What the fuck is happening? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to find it, but you're right. I mean, it doesn't pay
much.
It really doesn't pay a huge amount.
What do you guys do after? Does everyone hang out?
Yeah, I mean, they serve alcohol in the tournament room.
Nice. Do people get blasted and play?
Some people get really blasted. I can't drink and play just because it's like all about hand-eye coordination, and the movements are so small with foosball that if I even have a buzz, I feel like I'm hitting the ball off. Like, I'm not...
Yeah, you ever see The Natural? Not The Natural. The Hustler?
Yes.
When fucking that comedian guy, whatever his name is, like, starts to tie his tie straight and like... And like now I'm going to play, and the other dude's drinking, and he starts losing.
Yeah.
Minnesota Fats, that's who it was. He, like, got his stuff right.
Yeah.
You're already boozing when you're playing a hardcore level of foosball.
I know. Some people feel like they play better drunk, but I mean, it's with anything. It's like with comedy.
I've heard a lot of people say that. It's almost always a justification.
Right.
It's like, I'm better drunk. It's like, you want to be drunk, and you're trying to figure out a way to say it's okay.
Yeah, and then let the chips fall where they may in terms of your skill. But and especially when it's in Vegas, it's hard to be sober there.
Yeah. Who are the best comedian foosball players? Have you played with Norton?
Yeah, he played a little bit. He like told me a million times before he played. He's like, I stink. I'm not good. Like, I don't even want to play. I don't know any other comics who play foosball, who like actually compete in foosball or anything.
Oh yeah, I've never even heard. I didn't know there was competition. When you think about it, there must be.
But right.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that a Hall of Fame ceremony. And
yeah, no, it's very weird. It's very, very weird.
Were people crying about that lady mm-hmm. who fell out of the tree?
Yeah.
You're crying. Like, I can't believe yeah. she's too young. How old was she?
I want to say like early 40s, maybe mid 40s.
Damn.
She was always kind of like a character in that foosball world. Just in terms of she would intentionally play without a bra on.
Really?
Sometimes when she was playing dudes because it's just like legal like distraction. Sure. Yeah.
What's her name?
Her name is Moya. M-O-Y-A, and then I believe you spell her last name Tielens, T-I-E-L-E-N-S. But she's always, I mean, she's incredibly kind, like very, very, very sweet woman. And it was really horrible when that happened. Like, I think the whole foosball community felt really. Tielens,
no bra.
I don't know if anything's going to pop up, but maybe.
Those pictures of her, not with no bra really, but oh man, they were all really sad for her. Yeah, she was cute when she was younger.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She was really good too. She was like a, you know.
Definitely. And they put her in the Hall of Fame. So no, it wasn't like Hall of Fame, like makeup call because she died.
No, honestly, like she should have been going in regardless. Like she's won many, many world championships. She's very, very good.
Wow. I'm going to see how much money she's made.
Yeah.
So she's one of the best ever.
She was definitely one of the best women.
My players. Friend was a pro bowler. He was ranked 15th in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. And when he was ranked 15th in the world, he made like 35 grand.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Missing earnings. Mm.
There are a lot of really crazy people in the foosball community.
20 major titles. 20.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. She was really good.
Oh, she wore a low-cut shirt. I see it.
Yeah.
You know, bra. Having really making it problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy named Johnny Horton who went into the Foosball Hall of Fame because he was a world champion, but he was, like, is still insane, like, was carried out in a straitjacket.
Why?
One year because he just went ballistic. Because, like, he was mad that he was losing a game and, like, thought, like, the ref made a wrong call or something.
Whoa. Yeah.
And he had to be carried out in a straitjacket. Like,
they had a straitjacket for him?
Like, security came. Like, hotel security came.
What ref is there?
So there are people who are designated officials for foosball that...
What could happen? If it goes in, it's a goal.
Well, there's jarring. So sometimes you'll get called for jarring if you're playing defense too aggressively and you're moving your rod so fast that the ball's moving. You can't do that.
What do you mean?
Like, say I've got it on my 5-bar and I'm trying to pass, or maybe I'm trying to shoot. If you're playing defense against me so aggressively... Sorry, I keep doing like jerk-off motions, but that's okay. All of foosball. It's... If you're going hard enough, you can physically shake the ball, and you can't do that. Like, you can't change...
So you're moving the table, really.
Yeah, like, you can't change the course of where I'm trying to do the... Trying to put the ball. Does that make sense?
And so people do that on purpose, so they have to get refs in, like, stop it.
Yeah, because some of these guys are, like, fucking roided out. They're, like, huge muscle heads, like, you know... It's hard to imagine them not shaking the table when they're trying to play defense. But and there's like time violations if people feel like you're holding the ball for too long. That's not fair.
Because it lulls you into like an inability to defend.
Mm-hmm. Also, when you're watching, I know it sounds weird now, but like if you're playing really hard defense against somebody, you're like my arms feel numb at the end of these nights.
From clenching
and from moving my men really quickly. Oh, so if you're doing that over and over and over... I mean, like, that's a strategy to wait till the last second because you're wearing them out. Right. So I try and do that.
Just like, what am I doing? What am I doing now?
Yes, perfect.
Oh, hell yeah. I wonder who would be good at foosball comics. I mean, definitely not at that level. I've never heard of this being played at this level.
Yeah, I have, like, foosballs in, like, handle wraps in my purse right now.
Why?
I don't know. I just always carry them with me.
You just steal them from tables?
No, they're mine. Like, I've purchased them.
How much are foosballs?
At the tournaments, they're like $3 or $4.
Do you got to use your own?
Yeah, you bring your own.
They don't come with the table?
No.
What?
Part of what you have to buy. Yeah.
So, if we're playing, if we get paired against each other,
yeah.
Could we get paired against each other? No, men and women are completely separate.
Oh no,
they have mixed.
Yeah, there's mixed. There's also any of the open events. Yeah,
there's both. Are boys better than girls in that?
I beat a few guys in Vegas.
No, I mean overall. Obviously, a professional women's golfer will beat me in golf. But,
right.
But well, men are better. Is it a strength? Is the strength come into it?
I think strength definitely does come into it. Oh, like, okay. When you see some of the top female players, they can definitely hold their own and beat men. Like I said, I beat some guys of my ranking at the tournament in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, it's definitely totally normal. It's just, I mean, there is like a power aspect with men that sometimes isn't always there with women, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really depends. People have really different playing styles. I play very fast, which frustrates a lot of people because, especially if it's like an older guy, or like a classic foosball player that's like really sets everything up, it's frustrating to play against.
Because what are they? They're used to people going 5-3, hold.
Yeah.
3, now take a shot.
Yeah.
Or 3-5, 5-3.
Right.
But you just go 3-5-3, shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It depends. I mean, I'll mix it up sometimes, but.
It's fucking New England Patriots shit. Like, just slow down. Let us call our defense, asshole.
It can be very frustrating, but I don't know. It's
yeah. Do you keep one hand on goalie at all times, or you just set goalie?
It depends. If, say, I'm playing singles, typically, if somebody's about to shoot from the back,
yeah,
you set your back men up in a way that is, you know, covering the most room.
Yeah.
And then you have your left hand on your 5-bar, your right hand on your 3-bar, and you're setting up like a zone defense.
Yeah.
Trying to cover everything. But
if they shoot from the back.
If they're shooting from the back.
And but you know certain people that just won't shoot from the back?
Very rarely. I mean, some people are more comfortable passing from their back 3-bar to their 5-bar and then from their 5-bar to their 3-bar. Like, they just like to pass all the way up.
Yeah.
Which is like, I can't do that. Like, I just like to shoot from the back. But
I thought you said that's bad etiquette.
Oh, not from the back. You can shoot from the back. I'm saying that typically if you only just shoot from the 5-bar, from your middle bar, that's kind of considered like, oh, they just shoot 5-bars or whatever. Like, they just hack.
Oh, but not from the back. The back
is totally out.
And goalie to goalie?
Yeah, totally fine. Totally, like, that's what people do.
Is that like a more respect? If you score from the goal?
Yeah.
That's like...
It feels good.
Yeah. It's the worst, too, because you have it, like, so backed up. You're like, not only am I not backed up anymore...
Right.
I'm dominated.
Yeah, it definitely feels good. It's, like, the lowest percentage shot to make. You have to get it through so many.
So much. When it goes through, you have to stop something and look at it. Like, how... Where's the hole here? How could it have gone through that?
Yeah. Yeah, those shots feel the best.
So when you have it on your own 3-bar, you pick up the 5? Like, get those guys' legs up to get it out of the way, or no?
If I'm shooting from the back, yes, I put both my 5-bar and my front 3-bar up. Because on your back, your right hand where you're shooting is your 2-bar. It's just two men on that right hand.
So, okay, you got it on your back, your back 3. You turn up, you're holding it there. You turn up the 4, the offense 3, and the 5.
Yep.
What do you call the offense 3 versus defense 3?
So, on defense, it's just your, you don't even really call it your back 3
and your front 3? What do you call them?
You never even really refer to your back 3 as a back 3. It's just like your back guys. Okay. People say you're like back 2 because...
2 rods.
2 men on that rod that you're shooting with. Yeah. But it's mostly like people talk
about... Oh, it's only 2 in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
shooting with.
Okay.
Because like you can picture that, right? Like you're going back and forth shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll set up... Okay, so you have it on a 2 holding.
Yeah.
Turn up 3, turn up the 5.
Yes.
And then where do you hold your right hand?
So I'm shooting with my right hand at that point.
What?
But I'm, yeah. So picture that you're on a foosball table.
And then where do you have your left hand? On the goalie?
Yeah.
Loose?
You have it on your goalie in case they spike you.
Which is like come right back at you.
Yeah. Because you want to have a man down and ready for that to come back. Yeah.
Oh. So I always keep it on the 3 or the 5. So if a case I got stopped, I'm ready to fucking go. But you're better than me.
Oh, so I get what you're saying. You just...
I'll shoot lefty and then like...
Okay, I couldn't picture what you're talking about. That's interesting. I've never seen somebody do that.
Well.
Well, my lady. I really want to play you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like really interested to see what kind of I can get this tricks to you work have
in the distraction is my main one. 6:41. Yeah, we have some time. yeah. Have you ever met a dude playing foosball and hooked up?
No, I haven't hooked up with any foosball players. There's some cute ones, but I'm like, no, I've never fooled around with a foosball player.
Okay. What are they like? Are they alcoholics? Are they straight edge? Are they like Christian? Are they like degens? What's their deal? What's a typical foosball player? I know it's not, no one's the same thing always, but like.
Yeah, there's such a wide range of people. I mean, you get a lot of people from like the South or like the Midwest, a lot of like Kentucky people, yeah. Like Florida people. Yeah.
Is it big in the South? Is it bigger there?
There's a lot of tournaments held down there. I mean, I don't, it's so hard. I don't want to like judge everybody, but we're not looking at a lot of like scholarly folks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
A lot, I don't know.
You got to hang out in bars.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like UFC where it's like, they're all meatheads. Like, they're not all meatheads.
Right.
But like, there's definitely a lot of meatheads.
There's definitely, yeah, exactly. There's definitely a lot of people that like, you know, it's like, struck it rich with an arcade game. Like, that's essentially what it is. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. My mom is like, my mom has her master's in French literature. Like, she's this weird.
Where did she learn how to play?
she grew up in Idaho and she was like at home for a summer in college. And that's when
the Mormons all got into it.
Her mom like ran a bar tavern place and they brought a foosball table in. My mom just got really addicted and she got really good.
There you go.
And she's, are you left-handed?
Nope.
Oh, okay. You just shoot with your left. That's so weird.
No, I'll shoot right for 5 and 3.
But you shoot left from the back.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's weak?
No. I mean, it's just one hard spin. I never really let go.
Interesting. Yeah. That's so crazy.
That's crazy. That's so crazy.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. But yeah.
Maybe I don't. It's been a while since I played, but I feel like that's how I play.
Yeah.
You go both. Oh, that's nuts. And you got to grab. Wait, so you got to bring your own balls.
Yeah. Bring them balls.
Why? Why don't they have balls for you?
I mean, at the bar, so the pub 1739.
Yeah.
Here in Vermont, that's coin op. So you put $1's worth of coins in and then balls come out and you play through all the balls. But at a tournament like this, they just don't do coin op anymore.
It's open.
Yeah.
It just keeps coming out.
Yeah. So everybody, like, you walk up with your ball, you both put a ball in and then you've got two balls.
And then do you only put in your own ball or do you put in each other's ball?
You pretty much just only each put in one ball because it comes back to you. No, I'm saying,
okay, then there's a goal scored. Let's say you score on me, whatever, I put the ball back in, you score on me again, I put the ball, do I only put in my ball and you only put in your ball?
Yeah, there's just two balls because then there's always one sitting ready.
Yeah.
Like if I scored and then like you would reach down and just grab one. I think it's just right there.
So can you ever reverse them where I stick in your ball?
It's the exact same ball. Oh. Do you want to see what it looks like?
Yeah, sure.
I might as well have got it right here.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, it's just at the point, like they're making sure that you're getting a good ball. Nobody's like bringing a janky ball from home that's worn down.
Nobody?
I don't think, like,
it sounds like a power move, to be honest.
I don't think you would be allowed to do that because people
scuffed up shit ball.
Yeah, people would be like, no, we're not using that one. So this one, like, you can see it still has like hair on it. Like, it's still,
that's how it comes new.
It's like still kind of grippy.
Oh yeah.
But you'll see ones at old bars that are just like bald, like they're really worn down and they're so slippery they suck. Like, it's impossible.
Why? You can't catch it on your
it's
dude.
It's really hard to pin it. Like, they don't have any grip.
Question for you.
Yeah.
What do you do? Sorry.
It's okay. I've played sports my whole life.
I tossed it pretty light too.
I know.
What do you do when it's trapped in the corner? What's the rule for that?
If you can't reach it, make eye contact and then you just pick it up and place it where it's supposed to be and you ask again, ready. It's like
just push
like
it out
a time in, basically. Okay. Like, yeah.
So the defense gets it if it's like right next to your man.
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends if a ball gets lost between two rods, like my rod and your rod, it depends where it is on the table, but generally it goes back to the defense.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So no advantage.
Yeah.
That does make sense. All right, what do I not know about foosball that I should be knowing about?
I don't know. I'm so impressed with like your like you already have a lot of knowledge of it, and you have really interesting questions. I'm like, oh, I haven't been asked these before.
Do you do a lot of foosball podcasts?
Yeah, no, but I mean, once people find out, that's people are always like, what, and want to know a bit. So,
is there like a celebrity where it's like he comes in, like they're like, oh, we're all playing. It's like, oh, fucking John Smith just walked in. Did you see him?
Who's Tony Spreademan is like the top.
Who?
Tony Spreademan.
Okay.
He lives in Florida. He's a machine. He is so incredibly good. There's YouTube videos of him.
Really?
Mm-hmm, if you want to watch a cool match. He's amazing. Frédéric Collignon is from Belgium, and he is also...
How do you spell Tony Spreademan? I want to see how many world titles he has.
Okay, so T-O-N-Y.
Yeah.
S-P-R-E-D-E-M-A-N.
Are there any good Jews?
I don't think there's a lot of Jews in foosball.
Yeah, man, Tony Spreademan. Let me see the fucking... Oh, here we go. Major titles two?
Really? No, that can't be right.
It was submitted by Reedlet on Thursday, 3/17/2011.
So. Yeah, no, that can't be right. He's like, he dominates. He wins
Tony everything. The Tiger?
Tony the Tiger.
Is that what they call
him?
He
wins everything, yeah. Ryan Moore is also very good. He's my age. He's like won multiple titles. He's amazing.
Tony Spreademan. I'm going to look this guy up. I'm going to watch a video.
Okay.
Spreademan. There we go. Yeah, obviously football. Moneyball 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a 28-minute. How long do games last?
It depends. On open events, it's 3 out of 5, so they can go for a really long time.
How long does one game take?
Totally depends. A game can go as fast as like 5 minutes. It can last as long as 30 minutes. I mean, there's no time constraint on.
So you're constantly just doing this thing to like fucking fool somebody? Just like at any moment I could fucking whip one?
Mm-hmm.
You don't stay still?
Very rarely, yeah.
Slow-mo replay. Oh, he just scored right on that girl.
Oh, I wonder if it's my mom, because my mom played him in Moneyball.
Really? How would you know? They don't show the people.
Rob Mahrez and Tony Spreademan.
The computer, this thing's heavy as shit. Did it get heavier when I filled it up with data?
That's not my mom's partner, so no. But I know that my mom did play him at this tournament. This is in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, see, she's doing the wrist thing.
Yeah. She's got a roll.
She's holding it with her thumb.
Yeah. Who is that?
Oh, Robert Mahrez versus Tony Spreademan?
Yeah, Rob Mahrez, but I don't know.
Who's the girl?
Oh, that's Tony.
On the right?
Yeah. He's got like long Jesus hair right now.
Oh, Jesus. Well, he just got scored on by Robert Mahrez. Well, that happens, I guess.
Rob Mahrez is like a former, I mean, he's won a million titles too. He's been playing for a long time.
So these guys are two dominant players.
Yeah.
No, I did not see it. He just spun.
It's so quick.
He didn't spin.
Yeah. It's so quick.
And do you quickly try to drop your guy in? Like what? As soon as he scores, as soon as Robert Mahrez just scored, Tony just grabbed it and put it on the table.
You can you just if catch you him want. Off
guard, like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still gotta say, wait, I'm ready?
Yeah, you can't just like start put moving the ball. Go. Yeah.
Damn.
God damn it! He's so good.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty nuts, right? So he stole it.
Oh my God, the back and forth. That's my thing. When I go back and forth a lot of times, I don't get it dead on, and all of a sudden it's shooting forward. I'm like, no, wait, hold, wait. Right. That's so hard to get it flat dead on.
His control.
Damn.
His control is insane.
Setting
up. He set his D.
No.
Oh. Locked.
Right back again.
Like, do you see how much work? He's not even having to do that much, but on D.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get really worn down. He's not moving very much though.
What?
And it's not to his advantage. Yeah.
Oh man, do you ever get jabbed in the side with their rods?
I haven't before. No, I do get really freaked out though if I have to bend down to grab a ball or
that
look
they're
for something.
Fucking jam
yeah,
in the eye.
I always. That's a huge fear.
Yeah, so I feel like I've gotten that before. Where you're playing, you're holding, and then somebody just fucking jams a rod into your thigh.
You, I think you have to be like really close to the table for it to actually get.
Yeah,
I don't think
obviously,
it goes that far, but. I have Sorry, looking already.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah! All right. Well, maybe we should just go play.
Let's go play.
All right.
It's so close.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. All sounds right. good.
Wait. Was there anything else we had to know about foosball? No. All right.
I don't know. I don't know what else you want.
Have you ever had a boyfriend that you've beaten in foosball?
All of them.
Is it weird in the relationship after that?
No. They're all like any of my boyfriends that I've played, and they're like totally fine.
Cindy, I always think that'd be an easier game if you're like feel bad about being emasculated by a woman. Like that'd be an easier one to take than like basketball.
Yeah. And they're like, of course you're going to beat me. You've been playing your whole life.
Right.
But yeah, like my boyfriend and I will like play, you know, tennis a lot of, like, we try and play tennis a few times a week and basketball and stuff, and we are pretty like one for one, like I'll win one day and he'll win the next day, but he's a really good sport about it. We're like at the same skill level. Neither of us are great. We're okay.
Basketball,
tennis.
Oh
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Oh, no!
Yeah, it might be.
I think it's like boosted.
Yeah, okay.
Not good, I guess. Awesome.
It'll get this table noise as well. Yes. What?
So this is a handle wrap.
Yeah.
Some people wear gloves on their hands, some people wrap. This is technically what is around tennis racket handles. So you can get this at Big Five. But they sell them at foosball tournaments. So
this is like when Bud Bundy would put his like bowling sleeve on.
Yeah.
It Bud? So, or Al, whatever.
So you wrap it so that you have better grip.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you do that for all of them or just your strikers?
I just do it for my strikers. I don't do it for my left hand. I'm just going to do it on my forward today, but sometimes I'll do it on the back one too. And then you put a band around it.
Do my job, coach.
Yeah.
Oh, you got quarters?
Yeah. You're welcome. I gotta point out the long piece that works.
But you have your own balls.
Yeah, so, but if I put it in the machine, then
she'll take it. Oh, it's still there? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, nice. All right, see, I'll play that. There, how do you do it? You get half and I get half, or do you just come out on one side?
You just come out one time, yeah, so.
Good. All right, how do you do it? You explain this to me.
Okay, so you sit in the middle.
Yeah.
And you ask the person, are you ready?
Yeah.
Say yes. And then I have to touch two men.
And then go.
And then go.
How do you decide who gets the ball first?
Like, toss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You want it first?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I do.
It's been a while.
I'm going to take one again. Okay.
Yeah, this is where I'd always get crushed in the nuts, right here. I would lean in too much, and then people would just fucking jab me in the nuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right.
People are harsh.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
So that's good. Now I can go.
Yeah.
Okay. Stop one shot at least.
Okay, I've never seen this one.
Fuck you. You never seen what?
Okay. What am I doing the wrong about? So this actually makes sense. I've seen this. I just thought you shoot. Do you sometimes shoot?
From the three?
Yeah, or do you always pass it?
No, I don't always pass it there.
Okay.
So you shoot from the back, just not from the
five? I shoot like this.
Yeah,
okay. Just not from the five.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can. It's just, if you do it all the time, then people are like, oh, man, they're like,
ah, dirt.
Best way somebody can start a game.
This is a good return. Okay, so how do you do this? You're
good. So now I do it, yeah.
Okay.
Nice job. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. It's a passing past that five. That's hard.
Yeah.
To not just launch them.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, well, one more. Alright. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. That's why you're here. Try to get to the three and then go quick before the guy can get back.
Yeah, that's definitely. He was saying that maybe when we recorded that sometimes people don't like playing me because I play very fast. It's not very fun sometimes.
Time in like the game, they don't just assume like we're good.
Yeah, they always say just because some people want like an extra second to set their men up differently, so you always have to say ready and wait.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Alright. You ready?
Yeah. That wasn't a very clean shot.
All right, so now we start back over.
So what is it? Now they just go all the way through? No.
Yeah, so now I take one. Usually it's 2 out of 3.
So you played 5?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are the red? What are the whites and the blacks?
So this is to 5. If it's the third game and you have to win by 2, then you go like this up to 8. Yeah.
Okay. All right, 1-0. 1-0. Okay. You ready?
Yes. Sorry. Hold on. Okay, ready.
Nerves. One. Gotta get more than one coin off here. Ready?
Yeah. There you go.
Unclean. Unclean. I'll take it. No, I wasn't necessarily trying to. I'm sorry.
Filthy coin.
What a shitty shot.
Alright, ready?
Yeah.
Really bad.
Oh,
I shot. Now I know why people get pissed when they play me.
Just spaz out. Damn it! Whoa!
That's a big shot. That.
Oh, we're all gone.
Okay, let me grab quarters. Yeah. All right. So fun, right?
Yeah, it is a fun game.
Two one. Here we go.
What if you drop it and then you actually like go like this by accident and it keeps going?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Like you're
put it back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's like dropping a ball off a tee and go.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Did you do that? Catch people off guard?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Down, down, down.
It's
really
funny
for people listening. It's just like silence and like, calm down, all right, calm down. You're fine, you're fine. That wasn't great. 4-1.
So that's a push shot. That's like my signature.
What is that? What is a push shot?
Where you push and shoot with the same guy. Uh-huh. Most people shoot a pull shot, where they go like that. It's more natural on your wrist, and I've kind of like fucked my wrist up from doing push, a shot.
Push it and go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more like, doesn't it feel more natural to like pull and shoot it?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So that's what I'll do.
That's why you're winning. You're using so much of that style. You ready?
Yeah.
Come out, come out.
Oh, God, okay.
You make me nervous when you do that.
Nope. Get back here. Get back here. Get back here. We still got quarters.
Yeah.
We still got balls of meat. You gave me 5-0. We don't need another one.
Oh, perfect.
No, 5-1. Okay.
5-1, 5-1. I feel like somebody should take a picture of us. We're like in matching outfits playing foosball. We just look so nerdy.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll learn what you fucking do this time.
Goes back to me.
Why me?
Because you served.
Oh, okay. Darth.
Sorry.
Oh, nothing. That's what you do like in ping pong when you hit a shot by accident.
Or right.
Or in pool.
A lot of people hit the table like that when it's like a slop shot.
Like my bat?
Yeah. Okay. Like that.
Okay. But you get the point.
Yeah.
Flop shot. Come on, calm down. Oh, okay. Now, finally, I'm in an offensive position. Let's see what I can do here. 15 seconds. Oh, that was a mistake. That's hard. Oh, damn it. 2-0. All right. It's time already. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Right back to you. Glide that down. That's the push shot.
It's a push shot, yeah. And it's been like, hi.
Yep. Ready?
Yeah.
Good ass. Oh, nice. Finally. Good finally. Stupid.
I was like, wait,
I think I have the angle. I think I have the angle on this. Yeah.
That was nice. Good
count. 3-1. I didn't want to get shut up. All right. I'm good.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. With ease.
No, like, no.
All right. If you get this shot, we don't have to put more quarters to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. It'd be financially responsible for me to win.
Come on!
Come
next, like, corral it.
Sit down for a second. Well, good job.
You too.
Of the comedians you played with, where would I rank? It's been a while since I played.
I think probably the best comic I've ever played.
Come on.
No, I mean, I think the only other comics I've ever played are maybe Dave Williamson, Brant Tobler.
I'm better than Brant. I'll take that.
I think. I can't remember. It's been a long time, but maybe you guys are about equal. I don't know. You've got some like good technical skills.
It's hard not just firing away with the five.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that.
Well, you totally can. It's completely legal. Yeah.
Yeah, but if it's bullshit, you don't want to do that. We should have a tournament, a comedian's foosball tournament. We call it the race for second place. And then the winner just gets to play you and get demolished.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I'd fucking love that. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, all right. Good podcast.
Good podcast.
Where can people reach you and stuff? Did we do that before? No, we didn't.
No. So my website is kelseycook.com, KelseyCook. Twitter is Kelsey Cook. Instagram, Kelsey Cook Comedy. I'm on the road still with Jim Norton, so check my calendar.
Do you go by yourself?
I mean, I do have some days that are by myself, but not like a big tour like that or anything by myself. So, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. What do you have by yourself?
I just have dates around LA. I'm doing some stuff up in Washington in like June and July. So yeah.
All right. Well, hell yeah. Well, thanks, Kelsey. That was cool.
Yeah.
That
thanks for having me on, Ari.
Sports one with the pick. Very nice. All right. Bye.
I am a pinball machine. I can tell the difference between my belly button or navel, ping pong, pool cue, or a foosball table.
All right, that's the episode. I'm going to edit this on the plane at the airport in Chicago. As soon as I get the website up, then I'll put a link up for the tickets for This Is Not Happening. I'll also start putting up This Is Not Happening stories up on the website, so the story of the week should be up there. Guys in Canada and Australia, I'm so sorry. I haven't been able to figure out a solution. The only thing I can see is there's an app called BetterNet, and it lets you see any geo-blocked YouTube video. It works on your phone and on computers. So it's, you know, BetterNet, BETTER net. And then it's free, you know, it's free, and it'll let you watch all those videos. And you should, because those are the real versions of the videos, not the TV versions, which were like edited. So get that. And that's it. Thank you, MeUndies, for sponsoring this podcast. Go to MeUndies.com/Ari. Get 20% off your first order. It's MeUndies.com/Ari. Free shipping in the US and Canada, and save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. They're pretty comfortable, you guys. They're very comfortable. I like them. They actually probably have moved into some of my top underwear right now. Those boxers. How many men rank their underwear? But you know you have good ones and bad ones. You know you have good ones and you have ones that are like, fuck, I gotta do it. I don't want to wear these. But why don't you just throw them out and get new underwear? Once you're making over like $40,000 a year, at that point, you shouldn't wear uncomfortable underwear. And if you want tickets to This Is Not Happening, site is live. Okay. www.theblacklistnyc.com/TINH. .htm use referred by in the referral line, use Jew, and they'll know you're my referral, so they'll put you at the front of the list, and when you're seating they'll get you right in. Alright, so let's was that it? Yeah, that's it. Coming up dates: Salt Lake City, West Siloam, Oklahoma, Cherokee Casino on the Oklahoma Arkansas border, damn. San Francisco Punchline, Baltimore, Maryland. That's my whole May. Then June, one show in Nashville, June 8th, right before Bonnaroo. The day before, I'm in Nashville. That's weird. Because I'm not in the Bonnaroo lineup. If I'm not in the Bonnaroo lineup, well, I mean, would I go just to go? It seems like Ari, what we know about Ari means he'd want to do a show there, right? But there's no show on the lineup. So it would have to be some secret show. I mean, if it's not in the lineup, it would have to be some secret show. If I know anything about Ari, I know if he goes to a place, he'll want to do a show. Didn't that guy go to Thailand on vacation after he did his last special? And didn't he just do a show in Bangkok, Thailand? Yeah, that guy does shows everywhere. I mean, if he's going to be in Bonnaroo, you'd think he'd do a show. But again, there's nothing on the schedule. He's not on the lineup. That's weird. Well, then where would shows be? What would it be like? 2 a.m.? Like on a Friday night or something? Date undecided. Would it be like a, where would it be? I guess I'll have to find out through word of mouth if it is. I'm sure someone will be saying something. That's the episode, you guys. Thank you, Kelsey. I mean, she just dominated me. She just fucking tossed me around. I don't know how the sound was on that. Hopefully okay. You know, that's one where it's like you're never going to get perfect sound in a fucking bar like that. She was just toying with me. When I got that one point, I was like pretty excited. Like maybe I can beat this lady. You know? Maybe my skills. Oh, God. No, wait. Stop. The skill level between someone who just plays and someone who plays like that. It's like what Matt Edgar says between hot women in LA, you know, between cute women and hot women. Some women are in the game and some women are in the fight. And if you're in the fight, there's no muffin top at all. If you're in the fight, you are working out every day for over an hour. If you're in the game, you just watch what you eat. You know, you can still have a good body and stuff, but not for Los Angeles. You could have a good New York body. But for LA, if you want to stand out, you got to be in the fight. And she's in the foosball fight. I was just in the game. So yeah, thank you, Kelsey. If you want to see her live, what does she got? May 4th at the Laugh Factory, May 18th at the Comedy Store. I got to assume that's the Belly Room. She's not a paid regular. No one would know their lineups, but May 18th, the Belly Room. Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego. Madhouse at May 22nd. May 27th at the Mirage. Laughing Skull Festival, June 7th through 11th. That's Atlanta. That's not bad. Spokane Comedy Club, July 14th through 16th. That's far away. Anyway, check out our podcast. Cooked. Was that what it was? Yeah, Cooked. COOK, apostrophe D. That's it. Any other information? I don't think so. I don't think so. That alarm's still going off. And now I hear another alarm. I still hear the beeping, and now I hear another alarm. Oh, shit, I got to go to the airport. Oh, fuck, can I not shower? 10:29, 8:45, 9:15. Oh, yeah, I got to go. I'm not even dressed. Fuck. All right, you guys, that's the episode. Kelsey, honestly, on an athletic level, I look up to you. I look up to you. You dominate, man. You fucking dominate. Yeah, you're way better than me. I look up to you. E pluribus unum. That doesn't fit here. But like, just on a foosball level, I have seen a master. And you are my hero. You are my foosball hero. You know, thank you for just letting me bask in your glory for 20 minutes for a best of three, whatever we fucking played, I forget now. You are fucking dominant. If you guys ever see her on the road And then you see a foosball table. I mean, player. It's an honor to lose against her. She's just fucking crushes. I mean, it's like Burr on stage. It's just this, like, with ease. Yeah. That's it, man. I mean, she's, yeah. There goes my hero. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Kelsey Cook. For Ari Shaffir. No, no, for Kelsey Cook. For episode 262. Foos Fighter. I'm Ari Shaffir saying thank you, everybody. See you next week. I feel like I'm forgetting something again, but... somebody showed up with my 2016 tour shirt in Madison. Somebody showed up with my 2016 shirt. By the way, what great clubs. Madison and Appleton. Fucking two great clubs. Every headliner, by the way. Every headliner should fucking... every big one who's doing Madison, like the bigger guys, the Burt Kreischer types, they should also take a two-hour drive. It's an hour and 45. Rent a car. Go to Appleton. And do a show there on either the Wednesday before or the Sunday after. And then just fly to Appleton instead of Madison. It's no direct flight anyway. You may as well. It's just a fucking good old grimy club. Gives you a door deal. There's no reason not to do it. It's extra fucking money and it's a cool club. And that drive is nice, especially if you're a New Yorker. You don't normally get to drive. It's just nice out there. Pass some cowpites. Went to a graveyard. Went to a graveyard and not on weed, managed to put myself in a place of remembering or imagining what it would be like to bury someone's family. Some of those grave markers are sad. Like, see somebody's wife died at like 37, wife of Tom, you know, mother of Bill and Jane. And you're like, oh no. And then the parents put an inscription in the back and you just imagine them at the funeral. And I was like almost tearing up. And I'm like, dude, I'm not even on weed. I guess long term effects, right? But then I smoked it right afterwards. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Skeptic Tank 262. Foos Fighter with Kelsey Cook over and out. Goodbye.